9:30 on a Monday morning, and an opportunity for me to, welcome you into another edition of City Matters, an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie, and again, Veterans Day. We just had that. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to you and all the other listeners who are and have served our armed forces at any time honorably.
And, of course, you served in which branch of the service?
I was in the youngest branch of America's Armed Forces, the U.S. Air Force, which became a separate branch in 1947.
Right. It used to be a part of which branch of the service?
It originally was the Army Air Corps.
United States Army Air Corps.
Which was part of the Signal Corps, actually, first of all.
And now here you are in the Air Force, and appreciate your service to our country. The Veterans Day. And
yes.
By the way, you remember Rick Richter that we interviewed several years ago?
Yes, I do. It was a fun interview. I'd love to have him back.
You know, we celebrated yesterday with him. He's getting ready to turn 100.
Another good reason to invite him back.
Well, it is. And he is still just as spry as he was the day you and I interviewed him. And, of course, one of the original members of the OSS.
Yes.
And what a great mind he has. And he represents what we refer to as the greatest generation. And
yes.
And it is those in which our freedoms are enshrined, and we appreciate their work. And of course, I served in Uncle Sam's Finest.
That would be the U.S. Army, is it?
United States Army.
Okay.
17 Alpha 10 Field Artillery was my MOS.
Did you take your training at Altus? At Fort Sill?
I went basic in Campbell and, of course, went to Lawton, mm-hmm. to Fort Sill. Well, I think we have a Navy man with us here, but I just wanted to thank veterans for their service.
He's even wearing a sweater that is very close to Navy blue.
Well, it kind of is Navy blue, but 11-11-11, that 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month of 1918.
Yes.
The big guns. Fell silent.
Originally named Armistice Day, that is still how it is referred to in Europe.
And it was to be Woodrow Wilson signed that into law. Congress passed law that we celebrate Armistice Day, and that we'd remember those who have given so much for our country, and to celebrate our liberties.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
To all those who have served.
Absolutely. We have with us. This morning, Charlie, we have he has served so many capacities on the council. I'm really not sure what to call him, but
I will call him my councilman on the council for another few weeks.
It's Ted Locken.
Yeah,
Ted Locken has been mayor. He's been vice mayor. He's been council member. He's served on a number of committees, and he's here. But he's a humble servant.
He is a
owns a car dealership to the south of town. He worked for that little oil company here in town. What's the name of it? Frank's Place. That's it. Worked for a number of years with Phillips 66, and I think you worked in Treasure and credit card.
It all wrong.
What was it?
I worked in I worked in credit card. And in kind of a management role, and had to do with the budgeting under Charlie Kittrell back in those years. And so,
Charlie and Bill Kittrell.
Yeah, and
I also
did a lot of the PC work initially, for passing out PCs when they were moving them into refineries. It was a new thing on the block, so I kind of headed that up for a while in the downstream portion of the company.
Well, before we get into all that, let's talk a little bit about you personally. Oh. Ted, where were you born?
Born in Cherokee, Iowa, up there in the northern part, close to Minnesota border. Cold country. I left there very early in life.
And what year was that, Ted?
1931. If you add that up, I will be 85 in December.
An early happy birthday to you then.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you lived in Cherokee, Iowa, and...
only as an infant. I have no memories of the...
Didn't grow up there. Where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Clarinda, Iowa, down in the southwest portion.
Clay Miller's hometown.
That's down there by Shenandoah, Red Oak, Corning, all those. That was our conference where we played basketball, football, growing up in high school and junior college.
And so you grew up there, and where did you meet Maxine?
Well, now that's a strange story. I met Maxine while in high school.
Who's Maxine? Who is Maxine?
Maxine is my wife of 65 years.
65 years that she deserves a medal.
We started going together.
Sainthood?
Yeah.
Something.
A sophomore, junior in high school.
So you started dating her as a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. You dated, what's her maiden name? What's Maxine?
Anna Maxine Dillon.
Dillon. And when you first saw Maxine, go back a couple of years here, what'd you think of her when you first saw that?
Well, I was one of those arrogant athletes that knew everything, you know, the youngster. And I was just kind of very much enthralled by her. And we started dating, and it has lasted.
65 years you've been married. But how long did you date her before you got married?
Well, two or three years. Well, let's see. I got high school. I graduated in 1949. 47 we started dating. 47 to now is what, 69 years?
Yeah, that you've been with her. Mm-hmm. And I have to say this. I've noticed about Maxine that she has a keen wit and really a pointed sense of humor.
She does, very much so.
And Ted, there's sometimes you lack that sense of humor.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I'm not humor. She thinks I'm a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, that I have one personality to her and another when I go out and be with my friends and city and all that. So who knows whether that's right or wrong.
Well, I don't know if there's a right or wrong.
I'm so proud
of her personality.
Because when we came down here, we came to Bartlesville in 1970.
From Kansas City?
Just kicking and screaming. I didn't want to leave Kansas City and come to that little old town of Bartlesville. But somehow it grew on me. It kind of grew on me.
I missed the chapter here. You Clarinda, Iowa to Kansas City. How did that move come about?
Oh, from Kansas City? Well, from Clarinda, Iowa. I graduated from high school and went to junior college in Clarinda, too. We had a Clarinda Junior College. I was on the basketball team. There were 12 of us. The Korean War broke out in December of 1950. We all knew we'd be drafted as the 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And so we, en masse, enlisted in the service. Nine of them went into the Air Force. Three of us went in the Navy. That ended the basketball season.
Real quickly.
So on January 7th, I was enlisted in the Navy.
And January 7th, 1950, you went in the
51.
51, you went in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And what did you serve in the Navy? What position? What were you?
I was at the U.S. Naval Air Station most of the time. When I was at Treasure Island, I figured they were shipping me out on the nearest ship to me over in South Korea, or North Korea, South Korea, excuse me. But they sent me over to there. I had some background in accounting and so forth. I became a special weapons yeoman, keeping track of the atomics and nuclear that we had in our fleet in the Pacific, give me top secret clearance. So I had a very, very good job, but it wasn't sea duty. Although for advancement in rank, it was. It's an island. I was on Alameda, California, and that was sea duty for advancement in rank. So my career in the Navy was not out on the high seas. It was shore duty most of the time.
And how long were you in the Navy?
4 years.
4 years in the Navy.
Highest rank held was?
Pardon?
Highest, what did you muster out at? What rank did you?
Second class. I was just ready to go to first class, which just before, it was a good. I moved up the ranks pretty well in the Navy. Yeah.
Well, again, thank you for your service as we think about that. Now you've got us. We're trying to get you still from Clarinda. We're trying to get you to Kansas City. We know how you got to Bartlesville, but how'd you get to Kansas City?
Well, when I got out of the Navy, I went right back to Clarinda, Iowa, just for 2 months. Because I wanted to finish my college career. I had a mission in life to finish my college career. I was going to go to University of Iowa or Iowa State for school. Well, they didn't have married housing. I had two children. Maxine and I basically went off to war together. And we had two children. We're always proud of the fact that in the Navy, it cost us $7 a piece for our two children. We had to cough up $7 for prenatal and postnatal, all that. That was fairly reasonable in those years, don't you think? $7?
I thought they might charge you for the meals she ate in the hospital, too.
And what were your children's names?
Well, the oldest was Steve.
Steven.
And the second was Doug Douglas. Third was Anne Marie. And the fourth was Linda Sue.
And who's the last one?
Linda.
Linda.
Lives in Broken Arrow. Linda Sue. Linda Sue.
So you had four kids.
Yeah.
Four kids. And you got us one step closer to Kansas City here.
Well, when I went back to Clarinda, it was just a matter of getting organized to go what college I'd go to. Married housing was just almost impossible at the two universities. So I went south. I went to Northwest Missouri State College. There's four colleges in Missouri on each corner of the state. Rolla, and I can't name all the rest of them, Gardo, and Northwest Missouri State College.
And the other one was in Springfield.
Springfield, yeah. And they're very nice, small colleges, I think like 1,200 students. I remember to this day what my first tuition and books were. It was $42 a semester. Do we pay more than that now?
Oh my goodness.
$42 a semester.
One book is $42.
I got, the government paid me $160 a month, so 42 of it went for college tuition. And I worked for Sears and Roebuck all the time. I was in Cool. Until I graduated.
And what town was this in?
Maryville, Missouri.
Maryville, Missouri.
Yeah.
And so you graduated from college.
Mm-hmm. And I had a man by the name of Dale Connell who worked at Phillips for a long time. He came to the campus, and I interviewed and was hired on to for Phillips Petroleum Company. And from there, when I graduated, I went straight to Des Moines, Iowa, and started as a I was a high up in the calendar. I was a management trainee. And guess where they put me? In the mailroom.
In the mailroom.
In the mailroom.
Good place to start.
And one of the very first things I did was some postage in those years for 3 cents a stamp. And I quickly put 30 cents on about 1,000 letters.
Uh-oh.
And I thought I'd be fired the first week I was there.
Well, that'd be expensive postage.
Yeah. You set then. Those meters back then, it's pretty easy to do something wrong.
And they get you, so you got that straightened out, obviously, because you stayed with the company.
Yeah, and then after about, in 1960, I was 57 when I hired on. 60, they sent me to Kansas City.
1957, you hired on.
And 60, yeah, they sent me to Kansas City. We opened a regional accounting office in Kansas City in 1960, and I was there. And then I transferred into credit card, and that started my career. Because we had Kansas City as where we consolidated all the, we had 15 divisions, all the credit card was separate, and we consolidated in Kansas City. So that became my career, and part of it I branched out into other areas with Phillips, but a wonderful career with Phillips. I have high respect for him.
And I can remember Mr. K.S. Adams moving credit card from Kansas City to Bartlesville.
The city service left Bartlesville in 1968 or 9. They filled the gap. There were 700 of us in credit card. We moved down here. At that time, I was the assistant manager of credit card. I moved half the division down here. Rod Montgomery kept the other half there, and we gradually transitioned and set up in the fourth and fifth, sixth floors of the Adams building.
And credit card was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. My
the
wife.
The town is a little different then than it is today.
Yeah, my wife traveled back and forth to Kansas City for a year to train, and she knew you in Kansas City. It was a different town. There were probably 8,000 employees in downtown Phillips employees in downtown Bartlesville.
Well, I can remember, and there were 7,000 and some. I remember in the early 80s that the HR man says, tell the builders in Bartlesville, build, because we're going to have more and more people, 8,000-9,000 people. There was a lot of euphoria and what's going on. And then 86 happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Boone Pickens and Icon.
Yep. And we're getting close to the subject that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is, and this leaves, we've got about 15 minutes left in the program.
Yeah, but why did you do all and that
first? Well, I wanted to introduce you. People don't know your past.
Gotcha.
Where you come from. And now you, let's get you on the council. When did you start on the city council?
1997.
1997, you were elected to the city council.
I spent a year prior to that going to every council meeting I could to know the ropes of what goes on in the council. I had a neighbor, a friend, that was urging me to get on the council, John Perkins. A lot of people don't remember John.
I knew John.
But John kind of urged me, and between my own curiosity, let's put it that way, and John, I started attending council meetings. And, of course, I went on the council in 1997.
You're elected, and of course, who was the mayor at that time?
Ron Nickel.
And that's back in 1997. We were meeting down at
the old administration building.
Yeah. Where the 66 is now.
Yep. That's right.
Right there.
Yep. Right there on the
Bob Metzinger,
community center parking lot.
He filled your shoes.
I could never fill Bob Metzinger's shoes. I worked for Bob Metzinger.
But you did.
I did work for Bob Metzinger.
I've worked with four city managers. What do you think of that?
My heart just aches for you, especially the one you have to work with now. I just be blunt about that. So you began in 1997, why did you want on the city council, Ted?
I think that, Bartlesville, I told you, in 1970 was something I sure didn't want. But, you know, the city just grew and grew on me. And I think there were things happening in the city that I thought maybe I could contribute to, maybe help here and there. And the more and more I grew, and Maxine kind of encouraged me, if you want to run, you ought to run. And I ran. I remember doing the campaign. I don't think I missed a house in my ward, Ward 1, as to go out and knock on doors. And I can remember the dogs barking and some people pretty unhappy that I knocked on the door, especially if they worked at night and I pounded on the door when they were asleep. They didn't like that.
You disturbed them.
I disturbed them. But I think I run into every element there was, but I think I found that people would support me.
And what ward was that?
Ward 1.
Ward 1. And Ted, so you got on the council and you kind of grew into that position over time. And then let's talk about accomplishments, things that were dear to you. Not because you're part of, there are four other people on the council always that you work together to accomplish goals. And most of the time the councils are reason things out and work together to accomplish those goals. But as we look on things that you've accomplished, one of the first things, you became mayor when?
2000.
So in 2000 you became mayor, and there was something that happened at that particular time.
Well, I think it was a real indoctrination for being mayor of the city. I mean, I think we were doing pretty well, and then we got a shocking announcement that Phillips Petroleum Company, the CEO, Mr. Mulva, decided that we should move headquarters to Houston. Well, what a downer that was for Bartlesville. It became the reality wasn't there. It was a fear. And the fear was that, you know, the town's going to go down. We even had people go up to the 18th floor of the Phillips building and say, can we market this building? Well, that kind of didn't set well with the CEO, because he says, I will take care of Bartlesville. And guess what? Through all the years that this has happened, I mean, they did move, and we went through everything there. Then guess what also happened in 2002? I believe it was 2002. We had our drought. The combination of Phillips' move and drought was a real indoctrination to be mayor of Bartlesville. As I recall, we had many meetings about water, and I remember John Sullivan, our House of Representatives, mm-hmm. him and I were up at Hula, looking at the dust cloud that was in the middle of Hula Lake. There was a mound. And we talked about water, and we talked about water. At about that time, we decided that we may have to impose water rationing on Bartlesville under some alternate day. And I remember all the car washers coming in and pleading with me, don't do it, don't do it, you'll put us out of business. And then I learned a lesson about things like that. Car washers don't use a lot of water, they recycle. And so, I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think there was so much going on in that time between Phillips and the drought that we were busy people. And out of that drought became our long-range water committee, which I think is very, very much enforced. It doesn't meet very often. It's not visible to the public, but it's one of the most important committees we have in Bartlesville. I feel lucky to be a part of it then. I'm on the committee now. I'm hoping that the council will allow me to continue on the committee. Filling out an application home right now to give to Elaine to be on that, and I'd like to be on the park board too, which I have a passion for.
And Ted, let's pursue this. So the Long Range Water Committee that you served on, that you as mayor worked to establish it. By the way, Mayor's Committee on the Handicap. I don't want to mix the metaphors here as we talk about water.
The Mayor's Committee on Handicap is one that I have very fond memory. I had a disabled son too, and I was so much involved with that, and I can remember all the meetings we have, and I think we caused a lot of employers to look at their handicap. And also, we had a banquet where we would have the employers come in with their handicapped person and give a little talk about it. And those were wonderful times. And I just hope that something like that is continued for the, because I feel so passionate about the disabled people.
And there are things that happen because of that. And one of those that still is prevalent in our community is City Ride.
City Ride was one that I felt was an absolute must, and I had a very personal interest in it because I had a disabled son that depended on City Ride after it was started for dialysis. I can't say enough about City Ride. I'm probably the strongest supporter there is of City Ride in Bartlesville, and I just think that it is grown. I just hope it continues forever.
And appreciate that vision. Then I'm gonna go back to long range water now. I wanted to insert that though.
You're doing fine.
Long range water met for a number of years. It's been in existence since about 2002.
Yeah.
So this committee was tasked with, and it's not just made up of citizens of Bartlesville. There are members
county.
Of the. Go ahead.
The committee is made up of a lot of different people. I can remember going out to the Osage Nation at a tribal meeting with Steve Brown, our city manager at the time, and where we were trying to get the Osage on board because we were possibly looking at a lake which would free flow into our water plant. And so we were looking at all the alternatives in those years. We had county representation. I don't remember all the different representations we had.
Dewey
was involved.
In fact, the lady from Dewey wound up chairing that meeting.
Yes, that's correct.
Kay Martin.
Yeah, that's correct.
Chaired that committee. And but you were tasked with securing water for the next 50 to 75 years for the community.
50 to 75 years is our goal.
You did the Planning Assistance Estate Study.
Mm-hmm.
Senator John Ford secured $95,000 in funding to pay for that. And, of course, we contributed in kind. And we took about a year to do that study. And what were the recommendations of that study?
I can't remember. Can you tell me? Go ahead and tell me.
Well, the Corps of Engineers wrapped the study up by saying that we get our water from Copan Lake.
All I want to say in that regard is that my vision has never changed, that we have a pipe in Copan feeding our water plant. We've had such a... we look at the politics of Washington. Things move so slowly. Mm. But when I hear names now like Barbara Boxer, California, is on board, and Senator Inhofe and Bridenstine, and all these names. Now we're getting closer. And I do believe Barbara Boxer did authorize a General Accounting Office study to look at the rate structure.
Senator Jim Inhofe was a principal in that, working with us, authorizing the General Accounting Office to study water pricing.
Yeah.
And what folks may not know, and I don't want to get too far into this, Ted, because time is so limited here.
Yeah, we have much time.
But that the pricing for water on Core Lakes is just prohibitive.
Well, they figured on a replacement value of dams.
And
it's ridiculous.
It is, and
our people can't afford it.
So Senator Inhofe and Mark Wayne Mullen and Jim Bridenstine all worked together, congressmen, worked together to get the General Accounting Office to look at non-hydropower lakes and the pricing by the Corps of Engineers to communities, to entities that need that water. And we need Copan water, but we can't afford it.
So, Ed, you and the council have to make this happen tonight. In 2017 or 18,
and
that pipe.
I think the council, you as a council member, have set the stage for this to unfold in the next 2 to 3 years. That we will secure the water, and not only that, but water reuse. Mayor Locken has become a part of this.
Water reuse is something that the citizens probably aren't even aware of as to what it is. You know, that sounds like, ooh, reuse water. I think I could just boil it down into one thing, that the technology today used, and I think, Ed, you have fostered this all along, that if we treat wastewater and put it in the Caney River, that it's probably cleaner water than we're pulling out of Hula. And that should stick in people's mind. That's the bottom line of why the money should be spent. As I recall the numbers that you have put out to the council, we may spend $50 million in the next few years on wastewater plant, wastewater reuse, whatever. And that's 17 and 18 are the earmarked years of this to happen.
We'll begin to the design.
I missed that.
We're doing the study. Council Member Locken, authorize the study with Tetra Tech FHC to tell us, to guide us in this. That will wrap up in the spring of this next year, and we'll begin from there.
I hate to skip around on you, but you know, it's a real downer for me to get off the council, because it's every time we talk about something, I'm excited about the future for Bartlesville. I think that's more important. There's three carryover council members. That's Dale Copeland, John Kane, Dr. Joseph Callahan, brand new Alan Gentis coming on board, and Jim Curd. I think that I will do everything I can outside of the council to help the council if I can through committees. And I just hope that the vision, they all come together. The one thing that I think is so important for the council now is that we look at our cost of living. We have 5 or 6 major international oil and gas companies, plus, let's say, private oil and gas producers. They probably make up their families and them make up a third of our population. We're heavily involved, and we must watch our cost of living, because they have choices of where they locate their people. So I'm looking forward to that we look after our cost of living.
And Ted, we're down to about 2 minutes, and this retail, you were instrumental. I was there when we discussed retail in the very beginning and the studies that took place. But you know, Ted, we've got 2 minutes exactly left in the program. Ted, I want you to wrap this program up by speaking to the citizens of our community about what you'd like to leave them with here today.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of working with citizens and the staff and the management and the Council of Bartlesville. I think that the citizens can look forward optimistically that this community is going to grow in stature. Right now, as I understand it, the Bartlesville Development Authority is getting calls almost weekly of what's going on in Bartlesville, because things are happening in Bartlesville. Retail, if they just look at Lowe's area, to me, it's just a starting point of where we go. Retail in itself must have jobs. I think the two working together in synergy, we will have more jobs and retail, and we'll have a better community for it. I'm very hopeful that the council looks at the vision, that they look at all areas of the infrastructure, parks, and the overall dollars they have to spend, that we don't have an agenda on any situation, that we look at all of Bartlesville. The citizens themselves, I think, are on board to what the city is doing now, and I think optimistically that we have a council set up that they have been put in place to make this happen. And with Ed Gordon's and his staff's direction, working with them, we're going to have a bright future for Bartlesville.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this publicly. Maxine's worried about having you underfoot. That's publicly, I've thrown it out there now. So Maxine, I told you I'd share that with the world, and I'm in trouble with Ted now. But Ted, seriously, it has been a blessed privilege to work with you.
I think the privilege is mutual, and I don't intend to stop.
I love you. God bless the city of Bartlesville.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.